This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. Welcome to the Podium Finish Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. I'm your host, National Motorsports Press Association journalist Rob Tiansen, joined alongside, as always, my friend, co-host, and fellow National Motorsports Press Association journalist Nathan Solomon. That's a mouthful that I just said, but hey, I challenged myself, folks. We got it done. And that's how we're going to do here on season two. That's right, folks. It's season number two of TPF Live because it's episode number 53 of our show, The World's Fastest Hour of Racing Talk. It is the first off-season edition of our show. But if you remember how last season went, the off-season went by pretty quickly. So if you just hang in there with us between now and early November to about late January, well, you're going to feel like the moment between the checkered flag at Phoenix to the green flag for the opening practice session at the LA Coliseum is like a breeze. So we're going to get you through those late fall winter blues, and we'll get some stock car action out here for the 75th anniversary of NASCAR. Yes, folks, NASCAR is getting that old. Not like me, though, yet. Anyways, as you know, this is the post-Phoenix, post-NASCAR season edition of TPF Live. So Nathan and I will have a lot to get to here and recapping all that happened in the NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, which we could probably now call the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, which is like super cool. I just wish we could get Winston and Busch to come back and life would be awesome. But let's first of all give a huge congratulations to the new champions in NASCAR, Joey Logano, Ty Gibbs, and Zane Smith. Ford took two out of three, and Toyota took the Xfinity Series. So I guess you could say that Chevrolet may have won the battle, but Ford and Toyota won the war in their respective series. So Nathan and I will get to all of that. But I would be remiss if we didn't take the time to, of course, dedicate this podcast to the Ty Gibbs and his family, because of obviously, as you may know, folks, after the Xfinity Series post-conference, the season finale at Phoenix, Coy Gibbs unfortunately passed away in his sleep. He was only 49 years old. And, you know, it's certainly tough to process that. And we just want Ty Gibbs, his family, and the entire Joe Gibbs Racing family to know that we're keeping them in our thoughts and sending our heartfelt condolences to the entire family. So we hope that the racing community comes together as one during this tough time for the Gibbs family. But we have a lot to get to on this podcast. And for this particular edition, we have Stephen Parsons joining us again. And of course, he's a NASCAR Xfinity Series competitor who mostly competed during the second half of the season with Alpha Prime Racing. So we do talk a lot about his efforts with Alpha Prime Racing, what it was like to be basically, you know, race for a competitive ride. And we also talk about the potential for another Joker movie, because supposedly there's another one out there. And then Stefan and I are huge movie fanatics. So we'll talk about that and much, much more. But as always, let's hear from our sponsors first, and that would be SpoilerDiecast.com. So why should you shop on SpoilerDiecast.com? I'll let myself explain it to you guys. Hey, race fans. Are you in hunt for the latest and greatest in NASCAR collectibles from Lionel Racing or sprint cars from Acme Diecast? Head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com. They've got a lot of offerings that you cannot find anywhere else, as well as some hidden gems that you may have lost during your childhood. And if you spend $20 or more on in-stock items or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping if you use promo code TPF. Recently, I bought myself about 5 diecast cars from the Lionel Racing Collection, and it was going to be about $50, but with my promo code of TPF, not only did I get free shipping, but I saved about $2.50. Pretty awesome, I'd say. And my order arrived within 3 business days, which, honestly, that's pretty fast given how you can wait around with snail mail all day long, but hey, Evan and his team got it done, and I'm a pretty happy diecast collector right now. So head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com, and if you spend $20 or more, on in-stock items or pre-order items, use promo code TPF, and you'll be in victory lane, knowing that you save some money and look like a pretty awesome driver or car owner in your own right. SpoilerGuyCast.com to be in victory lane right now with promo code TPF. So yes, folks, if you use promo code TPF, you can get 5% off your orders of $20 or more and free shipping. It's pretty good because Christmas is coming around the corner. The holiday season is certainly almost in full gear. So if you're wanting to get that gift for your family or friends or for yourself, use that promo code and save some money so that you can get yourself some food in your belly. I don't know. I'm hungry. I'm tired. Anyways, now let's go bring in Nathan because I know he's ready to get season two underway, even though it's weird to say season two and it's not quite racing season yet. But hey, Nathan, it is basically the second season of this podcast. So easily, I can tell you we're on pace to beat the old podcast that we did.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the other way. It should be the other way around, right? Not the first episode or sort of the second season shouldn't be like the first off season episode. But hey, it doesn't matter though. We're back. We're I guess chapter two of TPF Live, rendition two, I guess, if that makes sense. But
yeah.
I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. I know we'll have a lot to talk about, really all off season. There's still a bunch of silly season stuff. But yeah, just kind of reiterating what you mentioned though, congratulations to all three champions, and then of course condolences out to the Gibbs family. Just an awful situation, and so sad to see Coy gone way too soon. So condolences to them. But a very fun weekend of racing on the track though, all four series up down at Phoenix. But yeah, it's crazy, it's off season now, and like you mentioned though, this off season for whatever reason, like, well, it is very short, it's only 3 months, but it absolutely flies. Just I think with the way that like the holidays are timed around it and everything, it just like, you know, it feels like Christmas is 6 weeks away, and then Christmas happens and it's like, oh man, like we go racing 4 weeks. So that's exciting.
Hey, that's what we're all ready for, is exciting times in the world of racing and basically getting through the holiday season. Cause I know it's going to be a lot of fun, but also too, a lot of us are probably going to be thinking, man, we ate too much and our wallets feel a little bit lighter, which should be the other way around, but it doesn't work that way when you're adults, folks. Also, too, as of this recording on Wednesday evening, I don't know if you saw this, folks, but the NASCAR schedule is out and about in terms of the TV times. We'll talk about that next week because we're still kind of assimilating all that information, but we'll let that be next week's problem. But all I'll say for my harbinger on that is, really, NASCAR? Really? But anyways, why don't we get to our first and favorite part of the show, Podium Perspectives. Now, of course, topic number one is going to talk about the Cup Series and the NASCAR Cup Series Championship race, which of the three season finales, I would say on the entertainment side, it didn't really have a lot to offer. But that's mainly because the man who would go on to win his second Cup Championship made sure he kept it as boring as possible. And I don't mean that in a bad way for him. I mean, if you're Joey Logano and you're trying to basically capture your second championship, you might as well make it a very memorable finish to the season. And that means winning stage one, finishing second in stage two, and then basically demoralizing the competition in stage three. And the funny part about it all was that Joey Logano was pretty quiet about his confidence and his chances of winning the Cup Series championship when a lot of folks were keeping their eyes on Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, and of course Chase Elliott. When you have three youngsters out there who are ready to go for their the championships, and the first time really for Chastain and Bell, and for Elliott would have been his second if he were to have, you know, actually captured the checkered flag in that race. You know, certainly I understand the young gun movement, but Logano is still young, and he showcased his 15 years of experience right then and there. So before we hear from Nathan, let's go hear from Joey about this championship, because as he said to our Luis Torres, it was a bit of a challenging season.
Yeah, I think everyone could probably agree it's the most challenging year and unexpected year from a lot of ways, right? So many different winners for one. Seeing that, I didn't see that one coming. You know, the lack of consistency throughout the field. Hard to really click off a bunch of top fives and a bunch of wins, and the teams that were strong weren't strong for super long before someone else had figured something out. You know, so and just the unexpected pieces that come along with it, whether it's the pit stops, the strategy, the way the races play out. I mean, boy, it this year was an adventure to say it the least amount. I mean, just to think about how many things have changed from Phoenix in the spring to now. Boy, I mean, we're so much smarter with this race car now. It's just kind of crazy to think about it all. So, yeah, it was a tough grind of a year. And a lot of times you just felt lost a lot of times. And, you know, the only thing that helped me is I realized that everyone else was lost with me. So that's one way to stay confident is when you know everyone else is lost too.
And being from Connecticut, and obviously you ran it around Georgia, what would be one message you would tell to those young aspiring competitors, especially from the New England area, that wants to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's neat to think about, you know, where I came from. It's Silver City Quarter Midget Club in Meriden, Connecticut, and you know, getting to go up there earlier this year, they had the grands there, and to see all the kids there, and just the memories come rushing back, right? Of everything that was there and the fun that, you know, it was, right? Racing with your, you know, I was out there with my dad and just having a good time. There's nothing like it. And you probably don't appreciate it enough when you're a kid. And so I always try to tell the kids that you should never take for granted the moment that you get to drive a car at its absolute limit, because you don't know how long you get to do that. And that's special. And I always tell the parents that make sure it's fun at that level, because that's what it's about. It's about having fun and competing as a kid, and you don't have to add all the pressure and make it a job, right? And that's one thing I always think about with kids racing these days. It's take it too serious. You're going to have your whole life to make it serious. At this level, it's a job, right? And the only thing that's fun is when you win. And that's just what it is. And so there's nothing like those moments. You know, and the dreams that you have, right? This was my dream. I'm sitting here living my dream. How awesome is that, right? Like, you think about it, like, I wanted to be a cup champion, and it sounded kind of funny when I went to school in Connecticut and no one else raced in class, right? And it's just me, and I brought trophies to show and tell, and they're like, what the heck are you doing with a quarter midget? What does that even mean? And, you know, I had that dream. Maybe I was the odd one in the class, but this was it. I loved cars. I loved racing, and I loved winning. And I just kept, you know, chasing my dream with all great people around me and teaching me and learning lessons and a lot of commitment from my family. And look at us now. Kind of neat.
And Nathan, I got to ask you this, because Joey did talk about this on Media Day on Thursday, which I thought was pretty fascinating. He was saying something along the lines like, I really don't have time to think about myself as being one of the greats, a Hall of Famer, but would you say now that winning the second championship, does this cement him as one of the greatest in NASCAR? Not the greatest, but one of the greatest.
He's certainly up there. He's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, anytime you have two NASCAR Cup Series championships to your name, yeah, he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he's over 30 wins now. So yeah, I mean, that's lots of first ballot lock into the Hall of Fame for sure, even without the championship, honestly. But, I don't want to say randomness of this, of the championship for every year, but like, it's a 1-in-4 shot, right? But you know, I picked Logano to win going into this. And I really truly thought in my heart, 100%, he would win this race, win the championship, but I did not expect him to dominate the whole weekend. I mean, he was on the pole, up there in the speed chart in practice, and then, obviously dominated the race, led for, I mean, close to 2/3 of the race. I mean, he absolutely dominated, but really anyone who went out front that entire race really, really dominated, right? You know, overall, it was not a great race just in terms of the overall product. I mean, we had a little excitement with Elliott and Ross Chastain there at towards the beginning of stage three, and we had to end the season with a parting Chastain incident. But I mean, it certainly added a little bit of drama to an otherwise very boring and nonchalant race. And I guess, regardless of what kind of track type it is and what kind of product you usually see, anytime somebody dominates like that, like it's just kind of a boring race. And I think that was kind of the same instance as like Homestead a few weeks ago with like Kyle Larson. Like he dominated that race, and even though Homestead is a racy track, it's a fun track, it's probably maybe the best mile and a half track on the circuit. It was still a boring race because Kyle Larson led 200 of the 267 laps. Just when you have a dominant car like that, it's just not gonna be a good race. But congrats to Logano though, well deserved. He certainly was not the best driver all season, but he, I mean, he won four races overall though. That's, you know, tied for second most in the Cup Series this season, only behind Chase Elliott, who won five. So a good year for him. I mean, he won the Clash too, so I mean, that's technically five. I mean, non-points paying included, but. Statistically though, of the six or of the four championship drivers, they were in the top six though, I believe, in driver rating all year. And I don't know how that is exactly calculated. I know it's kind of one of those loop data stats, but they were the four of the six best drivers all year. Obviously, Christopher Bell really hit his stride second half of the year. Chastain so steady all year. Elliott a little up and down in the playoffs, but a really great middle part of the year to rack up those playoff points. And then of course Logano, who was quietly very, very consistent all year. Never, he didn't really have many bumps. Like I think we saw a lot of different guys that had like bumps or little humps in the road or whatever. But Logano, he really limited those humps, and he was just steady all year. Pointed his way into the round of eight, and then obviously won at Las Vegas there in the first race of the round of eight. That let his team focus on Phoenix for basically 2.5 weeks, right? So they had 2.5 weeks where they can just prepare the Phoenix car, like where it doesn't matter what they do at Homestead. Like it really truly did not matter if they won that race or if they finished 36th at Homestead, because stage points don't matter anymore. Playoff points don't matter anymore. The only thing that matters once you're locked into the championship four is simply just where you finish at Phoenix. So they had all that time to prepare for Phoenix, and they perfectly executed the weekend.
I would say they were like that kid that studied really hard, got the A in their class, and didn't have to worry about basically weeks 3 through 6 of their grad school class, and then week 7 they just hauled the mail and got that A in their class. So Team Penske certainly had a very clean, efficient championship. I guess you could say that was on brand with the Roger Penske captain way of winning a championship. It was pretty much a clinic, if you will. And I would not be surprised if Logano contends for the championship next year, and maybe showcase what he can do with a tighter competition. Because as we all know, next season, all three OEMs are going to have different noses on their cars, and of course, rear clips, I believe. So everything gets a little bit different again for 2023. So it's never a boring moment in NASCAR Cup Series racing. Although I would say boring may have fit well with the Phoenix finale, but. That's okay. We've got Daytona to kind of change things up on that in February. So, congrats to Joey Logano. In fact, congrats to everyone in the championship for an awesome season. And I would not be surprised to see at least half of that championship four come back and compete for the Cup championship next season. Let's go move on to topic number two, which of course talks about Ty Gibbs. Now, let's just say the week leading up to Phoenix, he was not exactly in everyone's favor. And we're going to be trying to be sensitive about this because obviously what happened earlier, actually late last weekend, we're not going to try to be too critical about Ty Gibbs, the person. We'll just talk about him as a driver. Well, I would say safely that he didn't make a lot of friends on the racetrack with what he did at Martinsville. But at Phoenix, it seemed like he had a lot of questions, a barrage of questions from folks asking him about what he said after the race at Martinsville about comparing himself to Jesus, or his actions against Brandon Jones. And let's make no mistakes about it, especially with Noah Gragson and Junior Motorsports. I would say that there was a lot of war of words between the JRM camp and Ty Gibbs, but Ty Gibbs didn't really take the bait during those pressers. And I guess you could say, for at least one positive about Ty Gibbs, the race car driver, he knows how to block out all the noise, because he went out on this weekend. He won the pole, And pretty much, just like Joey Logano, dominated the Xfinity Series finale. And certainly he deserved to win. I mean, Noah Gragson gave it his best. Even with that slow pit stop, I think it was like over 18 seconds as for the last pit stop of the year. Gragson dropped from second till about eighth or ninth, and he was still able to catch up to second place and just ran out of time. But Ty Gibbs won the championship fair and square and defeated the JRM trio of Noah Gragson, Justin Allgaier, and Josh Berry. Now, Nathan, I know that the Xfinity Series was kind of your beat all season long. Considering all that Ty Gibbs went through the season and obviously the day after, I mean, how emotional is this championship for him and his family? And without knowing what's going to happen to Ty Gibbs officially going into the next season, safe to say he's going to go to the Cup Series racing, but how special was this for him?
Yeah, I mean, very special. I mean, likely his last full-time Xfinity Series race. And obviously, you know, you touched on what happened last week, or well, now almost 2 weeks ago at Martinsville, that whole situation with Brandon Jones and then some of the comments he made afterward. Yeah, he responded to it. I mean, he had basically one four shot, of course, to win the championship, once he get the championship for JRM, three other cars in there. But you know, I think you can argue those are maybe the four strongest cars all year, though. I mean, like, honestly, 100%. Like, those are the four strongest cars all year. We know Gragson, obviously, dominating year. Ty Gibbs have had a dominating year if it wasn't for Gragson. Really, the only person that could contend, I guess, for a top four spot that, like, wasn't in there would have been, like, AJ. And AJ won four times, but, I mean, he never won on, like, a true oval. Like, I mean, he won three road courses, I think.
Something like that.
And then Talladega. So, I mean, he didn't win like a racy racetrack like he did a couple of years ago, where he won a bunch of those, like Bristol, Michigan, places like that. But, yeah, Ty Gibbs dominated, like kind of the same theme though as the Cup race. I mean, I thought the Xfinity race was still really good though, but still the same idea. One guy basically dominated the whole time. Gragson was getting a little bit closer there to the end, but Ty Gibbs just by far had the best car all weekend. And there a lot of those times though, like where Ty Gibbs won games this year, were just kind of those rare occasions where somebody was better than JRM, because the other 30 or 26 races or whatever, JRM was always better. But good for Gibbs though, obviously. You know, that was his one goal this year, go out, win the championship. He did it. And then kind of the same thing as Cup, like the dominant teams in Cup didn't win the championship. The dominant team in the Xfinity Series didn't win the championship, but impressive victory nonetheless. And I'm very glad though that, like, obviously with what transpired the day after that, Ty was able to win that championship Saturday. And you know, that was kind of like, you know, his father's last memory of his life. But in that sense, I'm glad that was able to happen for him.
I guess when you say that life has things that are meant to be, that was meant to happen in the Xfinity Series season finale. And, you know, Gibbs certainly put on one of his best races, one of his cleanest races too, which I think was really important, because I think it's so easy to forget that Ty Gibbs is 20 years old. He's still so young. And let's not forget, a lot of the established stars in Cup racing, when they were 20, they weren't polished. They made mistakes. They said things that they probably shouldn't have said, and they were still, you know, winning races. And eventually they learned to harness some of that angst and make it into a more refined product that you now know in the Cup Series. So Ty Gibbs will get there. And I think this championship validates a lot about his talent. I know he's with one of the best teams in NASCAR, but especially now with Kyle Busch no longer being with JGR, it will be so interesting to see how the Toyota camp bands together in the Cup Series, especially when Danny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., when they're not around. How is that camp going to operate with a bunch of young guns in the Cup Series? So we'll see how that turns out. And that might be a question we'll have to consider down the road in the NASCAR Cup Series. But congrats to Ty Gibbs and the number 54 team and crew chief Chris Gale. I think that whole team has really worked hard to make that happen throughout their tenure. Now we're going to move on to the Truck Series for topic number three. I think, honestly, folks, that this was the best of the season finales, surprisingly. Now, I got to say, folks, I'm not too thrilled about the 10 p.m. East Coast start time for the Truck Series season finale. And I'm not trying to slam Fox Sports altogether. We're in the press. We're not fans or anything like that. But I got to say, folks, it's super hard when you're trying to cover a race remotely. Now, in our case at TPF, it's understandable. But when you have the money to go and cover races on site, like Fox, you've got to be there. Now, they might have their reasons and all that to not be there, but it's the season finale. You've got to be at Phoenix. But anyways, off my soapbox, and don't at me, folks, about what I just said, because I get it. If I could be at every race, I would too. But anyways, setting up the scenario for the Truck Series Championship 4, we had Zane Smith, Chandler Smith, Ben Rhodes, Ty Majeski, and as Nathan said about the Xfinity Series, I'm going to say this about the Truck Series. I thought that these four were the best of the best in the Truck Series, and we got a great show. Now, Zane Smith won the pole, but and yes, he did win stages 1 and 2, but I think in his case, he really had to work hard to get back in position because much like Noah Gregson in the Xfinity Series finale, he had a bad pit stop, and I think he maybe had one bad pit stop or two in the Truck Series race. And in this case, though, Zane Smith was able to make his way back to the front, albeit, though, he had a bit of a scary moment when I think Ty Majeski was on to his inside in the final laps of the race, and Majeski spun into the backstretch retaining wall that separates the back straightaway from pit road. So setting up the final restart, Zane Smith was able to capitalize, get past Ben Rhodes, defending NASCAR Truck Series champion, and safe to say, third time's the charm for Zane Smith at last. And he does it for Front Row Motorsports, and that's huge for that organization, as you know. So really, let's hear from Zane Smith, because obviously this has been quite the journey for him to be a kid from Huntington Beach, California, to have his family do everything they could for him to be a NASCAR champion. Zane, what was your thoughts on winning the championship?
Luis Torres, the podium finish. You talked about how you wanted to bring the organization to championship, but also for Ford, how special it is to do it under those circumstances to get that title for them in the Truck Series?
Yeah, pretty special. Obviously, Ford doesn't have many trucks out there, and it's I knew coming into tonight that it was me versus Toyota, and so I don't know, it made me want to get him a championship that much more. And so there was times throughout the race of, yeah, it was difficult when I was boxed in by KVM pretty much for the first half. And then was able to get in clean air and kind of control that. And yeah.
And being a young man from the West Coast, how gratifying is it just to bring one out for them, considering California has had various drivers that has been able to accomplish many great things on a national level?
Yeah. I mean, when I found out that Phoenix was going to be the new homestead, I was pretty excited about that, just because I like Phoenix since the get-go, and I really like Homestead too, but I don't know. This is as close to home as I get. And so it's so cool having family, friends, old sponsors that are family, just all of them here. And since I was a little kid, this is what our goal was, man, maybe one day, if everything's right, we'll be able to go chase wins in the Truck Series, or I don't even know if that was realistic then, in any top three series of NASCAR. And many, many times it seems so, this ain't happening. And we just never gave up. And they probably believed in me more than I believed in myself a lot of times. But I'm just really happy I proved them right.
Now, Nathan, you and I have been kind of tag teaming on the Truck Series side of things. I mean, is this the start of Zane Smith's superstardom in NASCAR, as if we didn't know that he was a superstar?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, this is his third championship appearance in a row. The first 2 years, he finished second, so we know he's certainly good at Phoenix, but he finally got one done. I mean, him in Front Row meshed right away. One at Daytona, one at COTA, one at Kansas in the spring. Had a little bit of a lull in the summer. I mean, not that he was running bad, but I mean, we were used to a top three finish, literally a podium finish. How to say that? But literally, seriously though, like top three every single week. And then he was kind of he just wasn't winning for a little while. Had a couple DNFs or just a couple issues that maybe he finished 20th or something. And again, it's not like that he was out of contention. Maybe missed like the round of four or something. He just wasn't running well, and I think everybody thought, and maybe even including myself a little bit, that maybe he just peaked a little too early. But he shut that up. He got his first win of the playoffs at a very deserving time. And yeah, totally agreeing with you. Honestly, the Truck Series race, I think that was the best race of championship weekend. I mean, those last 15 laps were super exciting. I mean, we had that restart. I think it was like 15 to go or 16 to go, and Rhodes was leading, but he didn't. He had a tire disadvantage. And then you had like Zane Smith, I think, in 11th. You had Chandler Smith in eighth, but with new tires. So Washington have to come through the field, and then with like 5 laps to go, the championship four running 1, 2, 3, 4, and then everybody's trying to push as hard as they can, and then Majeski just pushes a little bit too hard, makes a mistake with like 3 to go, crashes, and then it sets up a green white checkered, and so at least it wasn't like one of those kind of like fraudulent green white checkers where just like someone spins and he kind of gets off to the apron. Like, it was a real incident. It was with the championship four contender racing hard, so it just felt real. But I mean, if he doesn't crash though, Majeski, I think Ben Rhodes actually wins, because I forgot exactly what happened. I think maybe Chandler Smith, because he was running second at the time. Or no. Shoot, no, I think it was Zane in second and Ty Majeski in third at that point. Yeah. And they hit a couple times, but I mean, it was pretty clean. Like, it certainly wasn't anything out of intent. And Ben Rhodes actually got a little bit more spacing, and he was coming to 2 to go there. And I think that with, because see, he really gained a couple tenths of a second there on that 3 to go lap. So I just think with the contact there, he would have actually had a big enough lead where he'd been able to hold on. But obviously caution came out, a deserved caution, and then Zane Smith won. So I think at least there's two very deserving champions, in my opinion, Zane Smith and Chandler Smith. One of them won. They're tied for 3 wins this year going into the championship race. And like you said, I think if not the four of the five deserving championship four drivers were in. I think the only one, the fifth, could probably be Jonathan Newcheck, but well-deserved championship though for Zane Smith, and he's back next year. He's going to run the Daytona 500 and a few other cup races and maybe some Xfinity races, but he's back in the Truck Series though for at least his fourth full-time season, going to try to chase another championship.
It's pretty scary to think that at least before he goes to Xfinity or Cup in 2024, that he could be the next Ron Hornaday or Jack Sprague or Todd Bodine. I'm not saying that they're going to be truckers forever, but I mean, to win multiple Truck Series championships would be pretty awesome in Zane Smith's resume. And he certainly was good enough to win the championships in 2020 and 2021. But in each of those years, he was just beat by the faster truck in Phoenix. So I'm expecting a lot of things out of Zane Smith. And if he's really going to be in the Daytona 500 attempting it for 2023, I think he could be pretty good and competitive in that particular race based on what we saw at Gateway, when he did a really admirable job for Chris Buescher when Buescher was out with COVID. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Zane Smith can do. And I'm really happy for him because he's had quite the journey to get to NASCAR, and he's not one of those kids who comes with rich sponsorship money. He really had to earn it, folks. And I think that's what makes this championship super sweet to watch and cover for the season. Now, for our last topic for podium perspectives for this particular episode, we're not going to talk about like one topic whatsoever. This is kind of like a Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel type moment, sort of. Overall impressions about NASCAR 2022, not the video game, because there is none, by the way, for NASCAR 2022. I'm talking about the season itself for all three series. So Nathan, I'll let you think about this. What was the best, the worst, and confusing head-scratching moments of this season?
All right. I mean, I think best has to be the new car, right? I mean, that's obviously a important era of NASCAR. Obviously more schedule diversity. So I think the next gen car will be fine. Like, I mean, I know there's a lot of concerns about it in terms of safety, in terms of some of its raceability at certain tracks, but I think it will be fine. I think we'll see a lot, some tests over the off season. I think eventually there'll be some organizational tests planned, but I think it'll be fine. And overall, I'm encouraged about what I'm seeing. I think like a short tracks could get tuned up a little bit. Road courses could get tuned up in a little bit, but I think by this time next year. I think the next gen car is gonna be in a very good place. So I think that's like my good thing, like my I guess my pro, not my, like my pro, but like my best impression, I guess, of it. The worst, honestly, I don't know about worst. Like, it's kind of hard to like say worst. I think overall it was a very good season for all three series. I mean, like, truck series, I think, was its best season in a while. I think there was less chaos in the truck series, which is very good. Last year there's just a ton of chaos. Like, it got stupid towards the end. Everything seemed more civil, except for maybe a few incidents with Carson Hocevar. Everything seemed very seemed very civil. The Xfinity series always puts on a good show. I mean, that package is just tremendous. Head scratching moments, I think, just some of those inconsistencies for calls, especially at the cup level. I mean, we certainly saw a lot of penalties this year, a lot of L2 penalties, a lot of I guess behavioral penalties, like the William Byron decision that got like changed. Just a lot of those decisions, I think, were like my head scratching moments. I think that they just need a lot more consistency there with it.
That's some good points you brought up for superlatives for NASCAR 2022. And I'm going to give you mine, because this one I've been thinking about since the checkered flag at Phoenix. I'll go backwards. So I like your choice for head scratching moment, the William Byron incident at Texas. I'm going to kind of elaborate further on that. I don't think Rick Hendrick thought about this, because at the time it seemed like the right thing to do. But you mentioned it, Nathan, off channel, how if William Byron's penalty was not appealed after Texas, guess who would have made the championship four based on finishes? Like you mentioned, would have been Kyle Larson. And I'm not saying he would have won at Phoenix, because Larson finished ninth. But if you had to go put your best championship contender from the Hendrick stable against the three that made it in, I, as a betting man, I would probably want Larson in, no offense to Elliott, and the number 19. But we'll never know. So that's kind of a head-scratching moment where I'm like, was it worth going through that penalty because of everything that happened afterwards to the Hendrick organization? Now, the worst moment of the season, I'm not going to say Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson, although that was a pretty dumb moment, I would say. Ooh, this is a tough one. I would say the worst moment of the NASCAR season would be the injuries that we saw this season. I mean, you mentioned it. When the next gen car will get better, we all wanted to get better. NASCAR, obviously, and the OEMs wanted to get it better. But it's pretty sad knowing that, you know, we saw Alex Bowman get sidelined for about like four or five races during the playoffs. And then obviously, I'm not saying the accident in Pocono was the end all of what happened to Kurt Busch's career, but to know it basically sped up or accelerated where he's at now in his career, it's kind of a stinger for a lot of us. So it's a shame, but it kind of just moved plans forward. But it's not a good moment to see one of the greatest drivers in NASCAR get hurt and basically have to curtail his plans in NASCAR. But the best moment for me in NASCAR, thinking about all three series, it's pretty tough, but I would say I'm happy about the resurgence of veterans. I don't just mean like wins and all that. I have been a longtime critic about the Jeff Gordon effect in NASCAR, meaning that car owners pursue the young, unpolished, raw talent and hope that they can perform in their cars and find out that not everyone's Jeff Gordon. I like the reverse Jeff Gordon effect that we're starting to see in the NASCAR series, especially in Cup and Xfinity. You know, obviously AJ Allmendinger is going to go up to the Cup Series full-time next season for Colic Racing. And it was mentioned, I think, at Martinsville that Parker Kligerman is going to be racing full-time in the Xfinity Series for Big Machine Racing. Now, I'm not saying Kligerman's an old guy. He's much younger than me, but it's still so cool to see somebody who's not exactly in their 20s getting that opportunity to be in a competitive ride. And I think all of us in TPF would say that Parker certainly deserves that opportunity to showcase his talents in a competitive ride. He's had to tough it out with Gaunt Brothers Racing, basically just taking every assignment, Henderson Motorsports too in the truck series. So it's super cool to see the resurgence of veterans and NASCAR team owners going, you know what? We're not always going to go after the young guy. We're going to go after the best talent possible to get us those wins. So kudos to you car owners, Chris Rice and Matt Colic, and of course, all the folks at Big Machine Racing, you guys are making good choices out there, in my humble opinion. So we'll have more superlatives like that and more topics to get to the next time around for Pony Perspectives. But folks, what do you want us to talk about next time? Why don't you tweet to us? That guy, Nathan Solomon's at NSolly02. I am at Rob T. Oxen, and our Twitter handle is at The Podium Finish. Does that mean we're going to Twitter blue and spend $8 to get verified? I don't know. But anyways, why don't we get to the hot seat? Now, this was a really fun interview, which unfortunately had some technical difficulties, but I'm still happy to share this interview with you folks because it's with Stephen Parsons, of course, and he basically drove a plethora of cars in the Xfinity series, but I would say mainly with Alpha Prime Racing and the number 45 machine. Now, this interview did take place during the very hot, very humid Andy's Frozen Custard 300 race weekend at Texas Motor Speedway, in which my iPhone actually bit the dust a couple of times because it overheated. But I was able to assemble the interview together, and we got most of what Stefan and I talked about during that holler chat. So, Stefan, you got your wish. This is not on camera. We're not going to show your, as you said, ugly face. That's your exact words, my friend. He really did say that. I'm not trying to be funny, but it was a really fun interview with Stefan because he was just so excited to have that opportunity with Alpha Prime Racing. And as we saw during the stretch of the season, he really put it on. He had a top 10 finish at Bristol. And I think pretty much every race in the Xfinity series that he started with Alpha Prime, he was inside the top 10 almost all the time. I think he even got like a top 6 finish in one of these races. So super, super awesome. And I'm glad that we were able to catch up with him at Texas. So folks, why don't you take a seat back, chill, and hear our interview with Stephen Parsons, because we're now in the hot seat, literally speaking, in terms of the temperature at Texas. Welcome back here to the Podium Finish Live. I'm here with Stephan Parsons, driver of the number 45 Alpha Prime Racing Chevrolet Camaro. And Stephan, I know we keep talking here at Texas Motor Speedway, and here we are, but compared to the one in 2019, I would say to start off, this is quite a scorcher of a race weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It's very similar to the way Nashville was in June. That was definitely a scorcher. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how the racetrack changes and what that does for our balance. I was surprised in practice how much grip the racetrack had, even versus the spring. I felt like it had actually more grip. So, but it's only going to get hotter today, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about that because I know they applied the PG1 track substance this weekend, and I was wondering if the humidity and heat would impact that. But as you mentioned, it seems to be a little better than in the spring race.
Yeah, you know, the beginning of practice, it wasn't ready, but towards the end of practice, I moved up and I saw some other people moving up, and it helped our balance, and we definitely went faster up there. So I told myself all week I was going to run the middle in qualifying, and I did it and showed everybody that it was not the fastest way to qualify. But I think we have a good car. Everybody here at Alpha Prime, I say a lot, does a really, really good job. Frankie, everybody that puts these cars together and brings them to the racetrack, they do a really good job. Obviously, last week was really good, and we got to start last again this week. So last time we started last was last week, and that worked out okay. So hopefully we're going to have a good day today.
I meant to ask you about that because you had a top 8 run at Bristol, which that's no easy feat to do in any kind of cars. So, I mean, how elated are you about that result and knowing how it showcases what you can do in a competitive Xfinity car?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I just, like I keep on saying, this team just does such a good job. They build really fast race cars, and I really enjoy working with Frank Kurz, my crew chief, and Tommy Joe and Caesar have built a really solid program here. So I really felt the way the kind of summer stretch went for us, I really felt like that we were, the opportunity was there to have some good runs. And I mean, it maybe even exceeded my expectations, but they brought a good car. You know, it was really cool, and especially a race so close to home and a race that's special to my family. You know, my Benny won there and my dad won the first Xfinity race there, and I ran my first ever truck race there. So that was cool, and obviously for our partners at SoCal, that was just an awesome moment.
I have to say too, your paint scheme designer Ryan Pastana has put together some amazing paint schemes. I mean, this car this weekend at Texas, that is a beaut.
Yeah, you know, Ryan does an awesome job. Really excited to have Broken Bow Cabin Lodging on board this weekend too, a company local out of Oklahoma. Really excited to have them on board and have them here, and hopefully we can have a good run for them too.
Certainly. You know, your Uncle Benny would always say that when a driver like your caliber, who's so good but just needs a chance, they're making a statement out there. Bristol, I mean, top eight run, how much of a statement was that for you to showcase to Tommy Joe Martins and all these folks in the garage area that, hey, Stephen Parsons can be a really good race car driver, just give me that chance?
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. I didn't feel like I did anything different than I always do, right? It just worked out. But you know, I've have a really good team around me from Alpha Prime and SoCal and my family and Inspire, and you know, I'm very fortunate that they all believe in me and believe that, you know, that I can do this and that we can do this as a team and go out there and perform at a high level. And I think we proved that last week.
I have to ask you, because I'm the inquisitive reporter, what's your status looking like for next year? Is it possible that the better you do this year, that you may have a full-time chance with this team?
Yeah, you know, it's always a possibility. We just are working really hard with Tommy Joe and everybody at SoCal Inspire to try and get all that figured out. Obviously, that's the goal, right? But I'm just thankful to have opportunities here in the Xfinity Series, and hopefully we can keep that going next year.
Certainly. Now let's take it back to kind of the TV side on NASCAR's Race for the Championship docuseries in USA. A lot of folks in America really became enamored with F1 because of Drive to Survive on Netflix. Now, I know that this series is not international right now, but how huge is it going to be to bring in new fans and folks that may not know about NASCAR, probably stumbled on USA Network because of Law & Order and saw you guys on TV and said, hey, I like this guy, I'm going to watch a race and go to a race?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Drive to Survive and F1 is a huge success story, and it proves that that model works. And I've been saying for a while that we needed something like that as well. And I think USA and everybody at NBC have done a really good job with that show. And hopefully it continues to be successful, and we can maybe get some spotlight here in the Xfinity Series as well.
Now, we were talking about this before we started this interview. Your father, Phil, such a great analyst. Your late uncle, Benny, I mean, he's one of my inspirations for sure. But I have to say, you did an awesome job predicting the race picks earlier this year on TPF Live. Is there something in the family genes, in the Parsons family, that makes you guys such great analysts?
Not that I know of. I think my Benny and my dad just love the sport. Like, they, it is truly what they've always wanted to do, and they work really, I know Benny works really hard at it. I've seen my dad how hard he works at it to be informed and to, you know, be able to relay the information that needs to be relayed to the fans watching at home. And I just have seen that from them. And I mean, I try to stay informed as I can, and obviously it helps, you know, being here in the garage and being a part of it. But I think it's just how much we care about the sport, how much we love what we're fortunate enough to do.
Oh, for sure. I mean, being in this garage area, this is where you get the stories. I mean, we talked earlier about how, like, I'm still catching up to the millennials, but it's one thing to sit at home and make these reels and Instagram clips, but there's nothing that compares to being here at this racetrack, right, getting the stories, even if it's a hot day like this. I mean, it doesn't matter what era. I think that's what you hit it in the head. To be here, to talk to these people, that's what makes you very knowledgeable and gets you respected like your father and your uncle, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, let me ask you a really fun question here. If you had access to Marty McFly's time machine, where would you go, what place would you visit, and why?
I don't know. I'd probably go back to the 80s and predict the stock market and make a bunch of money so I could race more.
That's a really original answer. Most people are like, I just want to see a 70s F1, but yeah, I like that one. When we were last here 3 years ago, before the world went upside down, we were talking about how Joker was such an amazing movie. I don't know if you know, but there's going to be a sequel of that movie sometime next year,
yeah,
or 2024. What's your thoughts on that, and do you think it's going to be good, better, or worse than what we saw in 2019?
I'm sure it'll be better. I did like that movie, and I saw where Lady Gaga is going to be, I think Harley Quinn, so that'll be really exciting. She was really good in A Star Is Born, so I think it'll be a good movie for sure.
Speaking of Lady Gaga, she was also on the soundtrack of Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure, like any young driver out there, you must have loved that movie, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it came out on Amazon Prime like 3 weeks ago, and I bought it the day it came out, and I think I've watched it 5 times since then. it's such a good movie.
I mean, there's a lot of quotes from that film that really applies to racing. I mean, I forget which character said it, but he's like, you don't think about it, you just do it.
Yeah.
And I think that really applies to what you guys do out there, so yeah, I love that movie. And are you going to stick around tomorrow to meet some of those cast members?
I will be here tomorrow because I'm doing garage tours and hospitality before the race, so maybe I'll be lucky enough to meet, I think it's Fanboy, Payback, and Bob.
He'll be at the 1948 Club over here, so
yeah,
a little hint right there for you. I already asked about your situation for next year, and certainly we at TPF would love to see you back full-time for sure. But let me ask you this for your last question here. For as interesting and difficult as social media can be, how has it been beneficial for you, especially in recent years, and why is it so pivotal for drivers like yourself to be on Twitter or social media in general?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a good tool for our partners and sponsors to get exposure for them. You know, we may not get some of the exposure on TV that that some of the bigger teams do, but it's really a really good tool to not only you know, put our sponsors on display and definitely get them out there, but it's also a good way to engage with fans and kind of learn. You know, I think it's kind of a trial by fire thing. I think it's ever changing, right? Like the social media landscape is changing really every day. So being able to keep up with that and keep on your toes and stay original and put the best content you can out there for your partners, I think is the key.
For sure. And I have to say too, I mean, even from a journalist standpoint, even if you're reluctant about, you know, having to put yourself on video or do a podcast, it's kind of the trend right now, and you kind of have to stick with it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And my thanks to Stephen Parsons for taking the time at Texas Motor Speedway Race Weekend to talk to me and the fans at the podium finish. We don't know what Stephen's plans are at this moment. I don't have connections like Casey Campbell, but maybe, just maybe, Alpha Prime Racing is cognizant enough to put Stephen in that car full-time next season. Who knows? If I had to make a Benny Parsons type move to kind of be like, hey, do this move, I would suggest Stefan for that team because, man, they were so fun to watch. So it's almost time to wrap up this particular edition of TPF Live episode number 53 for episode 54. We honestly are just kind of going through each week. Who will our guest be? You'll just have to tune in and find out when you get to that podcast, once it's uploaded on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. But as far as content is concerned, there's so much to get to because it's the off season. So of course that means a lot of reflection about the season and maybe some fun interviews with legends and maybe catching up with a few drivers who are happy to talk about what happened this year and talk about their plans in the next season. And I'm guessing that's pretty much the same for you, Nathan, because I know your season, or not your season, your late fall and winter are getting pretty busy at St. Bonaventure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, calling a lot of games here at St. Bonaventure. Basketball season's picking up, doing a lot of women's basketball. We have radio rights this year. That's fun. So I'm calling a lot of those games. Maybe I'll be on some ESPN calls again. I don't know. We'll see. Also doing some college basketball writing stuff too. So, but of course, I'll be doing a ton of TPF stuff as well over the offseason, lots of season and review content, and hopefully some more features as maybe we learn more Cup Series and Xfinity Series, and well, mainly Xfinity Series and Truck Series, like driver lineups and everything, but maybe look out for some Cup features too.
And that reminds me, we could always follow up with some of our folks that we talked to this year, especially those in the Xfinity and Truck Series. So not spoiling folks, like spoiling things for you folks. I'm just kind of like, you know, just don't give up on the TPF off-season episodes. They're pretty fun. And if you remember last year, we brought in a lot of fun folks. So, well, hey, Lewis Frank, if you want to be back on the show again, just you know where to find us. So anyways, I had a blast, and thanks, Nathan, for always joining us here on TPF Live. I think it is about time to get this show tied up, bowed up, and ready to get shipped out there for next week, because it's episode number 54, which we'll get to talking about more about NASCAR and all the news and happenings that are happening in stock car competition or roster moves. But for now, I'm going to get the show signed off. So for Nathan Solomon and for Stephen Parsons, I'm your host, Rob Tionson, saying thank you so much for joining us here on the World's Fastest Hour of Racing Talk. If you wish to catch our previous episodes, you can check those out on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. And we'll be back on next week, and pretty much from here on to the LA Clash in early February. So until next time, folks, even though there is no NASCAR race whatsoever, let's still go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.